Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. The organization Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth has recently reached 1,813 petition signers. They are architects and engineers who challenge the official government story of how the three World Trade Center buildings collapsed. They're an amazing group of professionals, founded in 2006 by architect Richard Gage, who believed the official story of 9/11 until 2006, when one day he happened to be driving along in his car and he happened to hear David Ray Griffin speaking on the radio about 9/11. Since that time, he's developed the website ae911truth.org and has created a continually growing group of professional architects and engineers who put their reputations on the line by challenging the official government collapse theory of the three World Trade Center towers and by demanding a real investigation. They're a very active group, and I'm fortunate today to have two local members of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth with me on the show. Here in the studio with me is Wayne Costi. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Cheryl.
And on the phone from Boston is Mike Figa. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Maybe you could both start by telling us a little bit about your involvement in 9/11 and Architects and Engineers in particular. Wayne, why don't you start?
Oh, sure. I've been involved with Architects and Engineers at some level for 3, maybe 4 years. I think I'm 986 on the verified Architects and Engineers petition, of which we now have about twice as many. We're now up to 1,813 verified and vetted architects and engineering professionals. And that is in addition to about the 16,000 others who are librarians, chemists, physicists, people who are retired. All sorts of other people are part of that 16,000, and we invite anyone to come and join us. Fill out the application on the website. But I got involved largely because in February of 2010, there was a big event in which we reached 1,000 petition signers, professional petition signers. And so there was a nationwide event centered around a press conference in San Francisco. And as a result, we held meetings and read a statement in front of three of our elected representatives here in Central Connecticut: Chris Murphy, who represented the 5th District, John Larson's office, who represents the 1st District, and Chris Dodd, who was a senator at the time. And so we read statements in front of the office there. And so once I got involved there, I was asked to join the presenters team since I had read the petition so well, or the call to action. So then I became part of the presenters team, and then ultimately I became the congressional outreach team leader. But I wear many, many different hats.
Okay, so if you can hold on to that a minute, Wayne, I just want to get Mike Figa in on this. So Mike Figa from Boston, tell us a little bit about your involvement with 9/11 and Architects and Engineers.
Yeah, so 9/11 itself, I guess, made me politically aware. It occurred when I was in college, and I saw the way there was this propagandistic agenda, which was nonsensical. So for many years, I resisted the U.S., we'll say, response to 9/11. But like most people in the general public, it's inconceivable that it was not roughly as we were told. But it was about 2 years ago that I actually looked into the evidence with more of an open mind and came to realize that it was clear. It was full of lies from almost every angle imaginable. So then I became involved just spreading information, and I like the material that Architects and Engineers has, because I myself am an engineer. I have a master's in biomedical engineering, and it's really sober and persuasive. But even for the layperson, you don't need to be a technical expert to understand how the information is presented. So I supported essentially the launch of Experts Speak Out, I guess it was last year, as they were coming through. And since then, I've been involved with Architects and Engineers. Originally, I was on the college outreach team, and I still am working with them. But as we'll talk about later, we've shifted into having a very large project for this September called Operation Tip the Planet. So that is largely consuming my time with A&E, and in general, it's quite a large project.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's an honor to have two members of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth on the show with me today. It, to me, that is the strongest movement in the 9/11 truth movement, and they've done amazing things. And now that there are 1,813 architects and engineers, I mean, the number just keeps growing daily. So it is a really strong organization. And so, Wayne, maybe you could talk to us a little bit in general about the broader issues that Architects and Engineers is taking on and your role in some of those. And then, Mike, we'll go to you, and you can tell us about the Operation Tip the Planet. So, Wayne, let's start with you.
Thanks, Cheryl. There's probably about 20 or so different teams that have been developed to do some form of outreach. As I mentioned, I'm part of the congressional outreach team. I'm actually the team leader. We're not actually doing an awful lot with that at the moment. We're getting ready to deliver the petitions to members of Congress probably this summer in advance of some events that are going to happen in Washington around the anniversary date that are still in the development stage. But we put out a monthly newsletter called The Blueprint. And we invite people who are listening to the show and others that you can reach out to subscribe to it, because it comes up with about 5 or 6 different articles each month, and it talks about various aspects. Some are technical, some are outreach related. There's a couple of things that we've been involved with as an organization. The Toronto hearings, which was held a little more than a year ago, talking about the evidence and presented in front of a panel of judges. The book has just come out summarizing that. We have a cable access or a public TV program in which we are trying to get our stations to air one or more of our documentaries that are designed to fit into the time slots. We have a really interesting thing that is in the works called 9/11 Truth Music. There are many people who've written songs and performed related to the events of 9/11 and trying to get the truth out, and they've done it in the ways that they're most skilled at, which is making music. We're looking to do something around that, possibly put shows that would be suitable for cable access, so that it'd be a little more entertainment, a little more outreach in that form. There's campus outreach that Mike Figa just mentioned, which is trying to get students involved in asking some of the questions and putting on screenings of our documentaries, which are really well put together and well suited for an educational institution, whether the students are interested in law enforcement, public relations, engineering, psychology, sociology. It touches on so many different aspects, so it's suitable for many of the campus disciplines. And then we have a new outreach team that I'm actually pretty involved with right now called Library Outreach. I'm trying to reach out to librarians across the country, and we're actually trying to get some of our documentaries into the libraries. We're actually having a little bit of difficulty with a couple of them, and we're using those opportunities where librarians are saying no to organize around. So that's one of the other things that we're doing. And then we're going to be having a table at the American Library Association's annual convention in Chicago to basically introduce our material directly to the library community. So while there's many other things going on, we invite you to take a look at our website, which is Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, ae911truth.org. Wealth of material there, and links to other of our sites, such as the one about Experts Speak Out.
So if you're new to the 9/11 Truth Movement and you have questions or doubts or you believe the official story, I would encourage you to check out the architect's website, ae911truth.org, because they have a lot of the science there. They have a lot of photos of the event, and you can go point by point and learn why they question the official story. So it's a really good site if you're new to the movement also to check that out. And I'm one of the members that's not an architect and engineer. I've signed on to the website, and I encourage you to do that too, to give them your support and show that when people in power are looking at this, that they know that they are backed up with a lot of people who support them. So I encourage you to go there and sign on to their website. So Mike Figa, if you could tell us a little bit about the latest project, which is called Operation Tip the Planet, and what that's all about.
It's Operation Tip the Planet. Part of it is in the formative stages, but right now we're actually running an ad contest. So I'd say that there's two major prongs to this action, and we're already partnering with other groups that are extremely supportive. So we've been actually shocked, essentially, by how happy and excited other groups are to become involved and support us. But essentially, it's going to involve significant ad buy in multiple cities, probably metro ads and billboards, for the month of September. So for this coming anniversary, which is the 12th anniversary, we're going to have a fairly provocative but fact-based ad, which we hope, and we're pretty sure it's going to draw press coverage. It's debatable how much it will be censored or submerged or how much certain outlets might run with it. So that's one prong. And then the other thing is we want to do creative actions. So Wayne had mentioned that we'll be delivering the petition to Congress. So we're positive we're going to reach 2,000 architects and engineers by this September. That will be part of the petition, which is delivered to Congress this September. And as far as what we're going to do, we have many ideas. It may include local activists going to their city councils, going to their state representatives. And because this is international, and we already have supporters strongly in Canada, Australia, and the UK, we'd like everyone to be involved. 9/11, if you look back at the history of the movement, it's been so long. People come to the movement, and then they're very active. It's quite a shocking phenomenon to understand what happened. And they come and they go, though. But only in the last year or two have we seen really increasing receptivity among some in the media, and some in the media are telling us they want to cover it, they just need a story. And among the general public, we used to get strong negative reactions, even when I just started about 2 years ago. And we've really seen, maybe it's something with the decade mark, where people have seen more and more lies and absurdity around the world, that we really don't see very strong reactions. Your average person who you would not think would give any thought to such an idea, you'll find that they actually are open to it, or they've heard it before, and they're now somewhat desensitized and they're less reactionary. So the struggle is the window's opening as far as certain people being open to this information. Yet, it's been so long that many people have burned out or left the movement or are no longer active. So I think the big challenge is to reactivate the 9/11 movement and unify it. So essentially, those are the two things. Right now, we're doing the ad contest. So as Wayne mentioned, our website is ae911truth.org. And on the main page, the first article you'll see largely describes Operation Tip the Planet. And currently, we're trying to field the best ad that's really going to hook with the media and with the general public. So the top 10, essentially, entries will receive $100, an AE911 Truth t-shirt and mug. And that was our way to really see what we can get for ideas, for slogans, and for ad design and ad copy. So that's the phase we're in right now.
When is the deadline for that?
March 31st is the deadline to give your entry. And we already have over 214 entries. I just approved some more. And so we expect roughly around 300 entries. But I will say that anyone who wants to put time into it has a real shot at the top 10. We have a mixed level of quality in the entries, and you can view the entries that have been approved. So it is within reach, but not even just to win the competition. I think we all want to make sure we get the best ad possible. So we really just want your ideas, and that's really why everyone is so eager to submit ads.
Yeah, it sounds make like sure. You're getting a lot of enthusiasm there with those ads. That's great. Wayne, you wanted to add something?
Yes, the thing I wanted to add was basically about Mike's observation that the receptivity has gotten much better. I do a lot of outreach at various venues, and one of the things I've done pretty consistently for 3 years now, I guess, is Willimantic has a street festival called the Willimantic Third Thursday. And I've been there, and when I first got there, I got a lot of pushback, a lot of fingers, you might say, from passerbys. In the last couple of years, though, the receptivity has gotten so much better, and I believe that a lot of it has to do with the awareness of just how controlled the media is, and in particular, the issue that seems to have increased the awareness is the financial meltdown of 2008. Once people have realized just how that has kind of played out and what's been emphasized and what's been ignored, they know something's not right, and so now they're really much more receptive to hearing this. But we do hear the question, isn't 9/11 so far in the past? Shouldn't we focus on what's happening today? And my response to that is, you know, every time a politician opens his mouth today, 9/11 comes out. And how does it come out? Sometimes overtly he'll say, since 9/11 or because of 9/11, we do this. But whenever the budgets are being talked about at a state level, at a national level, it's all about 9/11 and its aftermath. Talk about foreign policy, it's all about the 9/11 and its aftermath. We talk about schools and college education, you know, where the money is for the grants and the tuition support. It's all about 9/11. We talk about veterans. That's definitely all about 9/11, at least the veterans that have served since 2001. So there's a whole lot of issues related to 9/11 that every time a politician will open his mouth, 9/11 comes out. And what we need to do is let people know that the story is underlying all these things that they're saying is wrong, and that we need a new investigation to reset the facts, because the facts that we've been presented with so far are wrong. And in the long march to getting the truth out, we have not had a lot of support from the media in the past. We're hoping that Operation Tip the Planet will help us do our own outreach and hopefully get some other media support. The way I view all this is that we are, in fact, acting like the sunshine, kind of melting the ice on a frozen lake. And we want to make sure that the monster or whatever it is that has to live in a frozen wasteland of information can't move too quickly because he doesn't know where the ice has been melted and weakened the most. And that's what our job is to be the sunshine.
Oh, that's a good way to put it, Wayne. I'm glad you brought up the whole why is 9/11 still important, because it does come up all the time when you hear politicians speak or budgets are being made. And the whole budget crisis we're in now, I mean, 58% of our budget is for the military, for defense, or for war, however you want to look at that. And if we didn't have all those expenses, we'd have billions of dollars. Someone estimated it's $1.2 trillion a year we spend on the military, on these wars. We would have that for education and healthcare, et cetera. So it is important to get to the bottom of this. Mike Figa, do you have anything you want to add to that?
And I agree. A lot of people think that it's history, but I guess most thinking people realize it really does define our current world. Everyone says 9/11 changed everything, and I think it did, and I think the event was meant to change everything. And it created a trillion-dollar shift in geostrategy. And we talk about the budgets. I believe recently, I think sequestration, I don't watch mainstream media anymore, but a debate was whether or not we could go back to, I think it was 2006 military spending. So it continues today, meaning our budgets have ballooned since then, and we can't even get back to a level of military spending, which was at the height of the Iraq and Afghanistan war. It's quite absurd, and that also shows, you know, who knows exactly who's involved, but we are talking about billions and even trillions of dollars. So that also goes to explain why there are very strong vested interests, whether they are party to the event or not. And for us as a nation to become fiscally sound and to become moral and not have this Orwellian paradigm, we need to uncover 9/11. And also to the global level, some people may think, oh, it doesn't matter for me in another country. Some of our best activists are from Canada and other countries, and they realize that not just the U.S. shifted foreign and domestic policy, but so did every NATO ally and the West in general, and also non-aligned countries. So every country around the world, they justified shifts in, you know, domestic surveillance or civil liberties, all based upon 9/11. And they keep ratcheting them up. I mean, over the years, what is quote-unquote legal, seems our government is continually engaged in things which are even illegal based on U.S. law, but they keep ratcheting things up. And an example of that was the NDAA and the question of indefinite detention of U.S. citizens. I forget about what we do if you are not U.S. nationals or citizens. So, yeah, it has supreme relevance and really does define budgets and wars and everything that is.
No, so there are 1,813 architects and engineers now signed on to the petition for a new investigation. But aren't they also saying that the official account of how the buildings came down is fraudulent, scientifically impossible and fraudulent?
Sure. First of all, most people don't know that a third major skyscraper was destroyed on September 11th. We're trying to educate people to that. And that is, first of all, the Twin Towers were both hit by a plane. They both had fires. And early in the morning, they all collapsed. Actually, they didn't collapse. They were destroyed. And I can touch on that in just a moment. But at 5:20 in the afternoon, what happened was you saw Building 7, a 47-story modern steel frame building, just collapse. It was announced shortly before, about 20 minutes before, that it had already collapsed. Apparently, the reporter got the wrong information or got it too soon because it didn't happen until later. And the thing that makes that so shocking is that never before has a steel frame building collapsed due to fires. Yes, the ground shook and all that stuff, but the building was standing nice and straight and tall and firm until it began. Something funny happened to, the West penthouse, and then it fell into the building. And then a few seconds later, the entire building comes straight down, 300 feet long building, 150 feet deep, and it comes down at free fall. And the reason coming down at free fall acceleration is so important is that means that absolutely nothing can be holding it up. If you were to take a marble and roll it off a table, it would be in free fall, and it would be accelerating because nothing's holding it up.
In other words, there's no resistance.
Right.
To it. Yeah.
And if there was resistance, it would be like dropping that same marble into an aquarium in which the marble has to do work by pushing the water aside
And then you can actually observe it falls much, much slower than if it was falling outside. And so it means that there was nothing holding it up. And the only way that that can happen across the entire length and breadth of a 300-foot building is if all the supports are removed simultaneously, and that can only be done simultaneously with explosives, and that means somebody had to push the button. So that's Building 7. So the architects and engineers have looked at this, and they said, well, this really doesn't make any sense at all. And then, of course, NIST is the National Institutes of Standards and Technology. They were tasked with describing what actually happened to the buildings. They've developed computer models that are really sophisticated. Matter of fact, so sophisticated that they can't release them to architects and engineers who are charged with learning how to design buildings. And so this raises a lot of questions like, what's the matter? You don't believe the models? You can't let anyone see what happened? We only have a report in which we have you saying, this is what happened. So at any rate, we actually have a letter that we've developed for members of Congress to forward to NIST asking them to release these. And if you go to ae911truth.org/Congress, we talk about how to interact with Congress. And at the bottom is a letter we'd like to have you send to your representative or senator so they can forward it to NIST asking them how we can improve the competitiveness of our engineering professions here in the United States by letting them have access to the best tools. Now, I'd like to talk real briefly about the Twin Towers. People that you talk to will say, well, yeah, they just collapsed. Well, they didn't collapse. An old PBS documentary called Why the Towers Fell by Nova leaves the image that most people seem to have in their head because they've seen it. It's floor after floor after floor pancaking all the way down to the bottom. But if that happened, then all the material would be sitting at the bottom of the building. In fact, 95% of the material is outside the footprint of the building. And if 95% of the material is outside the footprint of the building, what was it that was destroying the building again? Because once it's outside the footprint, it's just falling. It's not able to crush anything. Secondly, if you actually look at the videos, and there's many videos of this, for the North Tower, you can actually see once the initiation of the destruction begins, you can see materials being thrown outside of the building and falling at free fall because nothing's holding it up. And along through the center line of the building is being destroyed at the same level. There's a demolition wave that's going straight down the center line, and it's keeping up with the stuff that's falling in free fall. So there can't be stuff falling on the inside, hitting floor after floor and boom, 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 because that would slow it down. But instead, it's just being ejected outward and at exactly the same speed or just about the same speed as stuff that's in free fall. And so that can't make any sense. And then if you look at the South Tower, there's some camera shots looking upward underneath, and you can see floor by floor, symmetrical destruction of floor by floor. And as material is ejected outside the footprint of the building, as it's blown outside, it still hasn't been able to fall outside, and then the next floor is exploded outward. And so it takes a long time for it to be covered by stuff that's in free fall outside of the building. So those are all indications that the building is actively being destroyed, and it's not a gravity-induced collapse. So sorry to have taken so long, but that's my
good information.
Observations.
Good scientific information there. So if you're a listener and you want to get involved in helping out with Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, they have, as Wayne said, over 20 different volunteer committees going on. So the first thing to do would be to go sign up if you're an architect or an engineer, sign their petition, and get that number up to 2,000. And then if you're not an architect or an engineer like myself, you can still go and sign up to be a supporter of their organization. And Mike Fiege, maybe you can tell people more specifically. I know that they need people to help vetting the architects and engineers who sign up. So there's jobs that are small and jobs that are large that someone could take on. If you have any other insights that you could share with the listeners about that.
The project which I'm working on, we will need help. And actually, I guess 2 points to add to what Wayne said about the destruction. I urge people to just go on the internet and either go to our website or you could even YouTube WTC7. Which is the building which fell in the evening, 47-story building. And as he said, it had over 2.25 seconds of pure free fall straight down, which means those exterior columns were not even just severed at one point simultaneously. They had to be severed over at multiple points. Because if I was to take, let's say, a butter knife and just cut the bottom of the building, it would fall, but it would very soon reach resistance. We don't destroy buildings just by taking out a column at one point. And another thing about the Twin Towers, for the layman, we had survivors, firemen and civilians, in the stairwell right at the base level of the tower. So supposedly 110 stories fell, collapsed all the way to the ground, except for the ground, actually. And ironically, when you look at the, as we call it, ground zero, you can see the exterior columns. They're very strong, but, they're not the same as the core columns, and they're still standing. So the evidence shows that our thesis is essentially correct, that it was blown up, you can understand that they blew up the entire building, but they didn't obviously blow up some of the basement levels or even the lobby to have people survive standing in a stairwell where 110 stories had been above shortly before the collapse. With regards to Operation Tip the Planet, one thing I wanted to say is that we're a growing coalition, and we're even bringing in peace groups. We're working with NYC CAN, which was also known as Remember Building 7, 9/11 Truth and Justice in Canada, the 9/11 Consensus Panel. We're talking to We Are Change groups, and also Citizens Aware and Asking. So we really want to bring unity, and we would also love groups which are not normally involved with the 9/11 issue. If they come to review the evidence and they realize that this is central to their aims as well, such as Veterans for Peace and other groups, we would like them to join us. So I'll say that if you want to contact us with regards to this particular project, you can email otp@ae911truth.org. That is OTP, which is the acronym for Operation Tip the Planet. And as far as funding goes, right now we're still working out the ad, but I will state that we already have $88,000 or more from NYC CAN and large, generous donors within AE 911 Truth. So as we raise funds through this summer, your dollars will be matched by those matching funds to really make an impact. I would say you can go to AE911Truth.org if there's various ways to volunteer or contact us.
You've got about 20 seconds, Mike.
All right. Well, yeah, that's all I'd like to say, but please do go to AE911Truth.org. The first article deals with Operation Tip the Planet. Please educate yourselves, and that's all I would suggest.
Okay, thanks. And thank you to both of you, Wayne and Mike, for being on the show today and for all that you do to try and get at the truth of 9/11, which is a watershed event in our lifetimes. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you.
The architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth have produced two movies, the first of which is 9/11 Blueprint for Truth, which presents the scientific evidence for controlled demolition, and the second one is 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. We've shown both of these movies at WWH as part of the Progressive Movie Night. Maybe some of you are also at those events. And the Connecticut 9/11 Truth Group has had Richard Gage speak here in the area three times over the last 5 years. If you haven't already done so, I would encourage you to check out the website ae911truth.org. You can get copies of the movies there and find lots of interesting articles, videos, evidence, etc. And you can see the videos of Richard Gage speaking in Connecticut by going to the very informative local website, ct911truth.org, where also some of my earlier shows are archived. And I'm going to end the show today on a different note than usual. We have another local artist. He's a musician and not an architect and engineer, but he is a volunteer for Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, Carl Seeger Henry. And he wrote the song you're about to hear, and it's called Building 7. So lots of local talent, lots of people really committed in Connecticut to getting at the truth of 9/11. And here's his song, Building 7.
Building 7, the smoking gun. It tells the truth about what was done to me and you. To the world, it tells the truth. It tells it true. 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. At the World Trade Center, three buildings came down, hit by two planes, panic all around. But Building 7 had barely a scratch, not hit by a plane, yet it still collapsed, and office fires were blamed for that. Building 7, the smoking gun, it tells the truth about what was done to me and you. To the world, it tells the truth. It tells the truth. 9/11, Building 7. Oh, 9/11, Building 7. The first responders saw molten steel. They heard explosions, swore they were real. And one we all watched was seen surreal. Those buildings fell with roaring blast, a demolition controlled and fast. Building 7, the smoking gun, it tells the truth about what was done.
This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.